already 10 minutes to 6. We've been here for the whole day, I understand. But a better part of it. But I'd like to welcome you to Chicago. And welcome you to Tel Yeshiva. This is a very nice thing. Even to take off a day from their busy schedule in the Olam HaMischer to come learn Torah. And learn Hashkofa. And learn Halacha. That's something that's very special. And all of us at the Yeshiva are inspired by it. And although we understand you're coming from Minneapolis, which is a Ir Ve'Ein B'Yisrael nowadays, with Torah, with yeshivas and Kailul, about the Knesset, about the Midrashas. But since you know that what Chazal say, that someone who really wants to succeed in what they learn, so the way to do it is by going into Golos. There's a Ritva that says that the Hatzlocha is found when you leave home. You leave home and you convey yourself in a Beis Medrash, that's when you find success in learning. Even if it's for one day. Like Chazal say in Masechta Menachos, you've heard it already, I'm sure, that Bar Beirav Dechad Yoima. But since it was away from home, that individual became a Talmud Chacham. So we hope that this one day, away from the confines of your home in Minnesota, should be a day of great Hatzlocha in your learning and your Ruchnis in general. I would just like to share with the Olam a thought or two. In the Parsha of the Sedra, the Parsha of the Week, is Parsha Vayishlach. And the Torah discusses about Yaakov and Esav. That Yaakov had some sort of a fear of his brother Esav. Because he knew that his brother was not conducting himself like with the regular, quote-unquote, brotherly love. And Esav was after him. And Esav had said, initially, after the brachas of Yitzchak, that Yikuvu Yimei Evelovi, I'm looking for the time when I'll be able to destroy Yaakov. And Yaakov now was returning home, so to speak, after being away for over 20 years, and Esav got word of Yaakov's plans to return. And we know the Psukim tell us that Yaakov was preparing for the worst. And he knew that Esav was preparing to greet him. And he was going to do battle with him. And Yaakov was afraid. And the Pasuk says, Vayira Vayetzalai. He was greatly full of fear and trepidation. What caused the fear? What was the main nakuda that caused that fright? So the Midrash tells us, very interesting statement. He was afraid not only that Esav might have the stronger upper hand, but he had more zechusim. He had more merits than him. This is the way Yaakov, the Onav, thought. Omar, kol hashonim alolu yoishev ba'eretz Yisrael, that all these 20 plus years, Esav is living at home. He's living in Eretz Yisrael. He's living in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. So if he's going to attack me, he might be able to succeed because he has the merit of the mitzvah of Yeshivas Haaretz with him. And I don't have that. I've been away for 20 years. And Esav, for 20 years, has been living in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was someone who understood the greatness of every mitzvah and understood the greatness of the land of Eretz Yisrael. If the Yerushalmi tells us that if a person is koveya atzmoi b'Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalmi and Shabbos, if in the first parak, if someone is koveya himself, he plants himself, he resides in Eretz Yisrael, he's already a ben olam haba. That's all he needs to live in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. And Esav was there for 20 years and Yaakov wasn't. So Yaakov was afraid that the zechus, the merit of living in the land of Eretz Yisrael, is going to defeat him. Esav came with that zechus, and Yaakov was devoid of that schus. So he was afraid. And that's what caused him to be full of this trepidation and fright. And therefore he prepared in the three ways as we know. The question is, so at the end of the story, Esav did not vanquish Yaakov. Baruch Hashem, we're here to attest to that. I'm not complaining about the end of the story. But the question that one could ask is, why Taka? Why wasn't the zechus of Esav enough to allow Esav to destroy Yaakov? If Yaakov assessed the greatness of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael properly, then Esav was coming with that zechus, Yaakov doesn't have it, that's it. He's done. Why didn't it happen? Why was Yaakov victorious, so to speak, by saving his family? Why didn't Esav have the ability to wipe him off the map with this zechus? I don't know the real answer. However, I would like to suggest a thought. There's a Chassam Sofer in his Torah Moshe in Parsha Lech Lecha that makes a brilliant observation and follows it up with a very important Yesoidistic concept. The Pasuk over there is talking about when Lot was captured in the battle of the four kings against the five. And Lot was taken away from home. He was captured away from Sodom. At that time, he was living in Sodom, and they were overrun by the four kings, and he was taken prisoner. And the Pasuk says, Vayikhu es Lot vesrechushe ben chiavrom vayelchu. They took him with his wealth, and they marched him off to the prison camp. Vayelechu. Vahu yoyshe b'stoim. At that time, he was a resident of Sodom. So the Chassam Sofer asks, "Vuhu Yoshev B'Sodom is out of place. He wasn't any longer a resident of Sodom once he's being marched away from Sodom in shackles and he's going to end up in a prison camp. He was from Sodom. But the Pasuk says, "Hu Yoshev presently, Loshen Hoive," as he's being marched away by the four kings and their armies, he's living in Sodom. What? Why does the Pasuk write it in such a strange fashion? Chassam Sofer says, because the Pasuk is telling us a great lesson. Who was Lot? We all know he was a disciple of Avram, and he was a nephew of Avram, and he lived with Avram. He knew greatness. And he learned from Avram the truth about Hashem, about the world, and about the creation of the world. He knew everything. Yet, he decided at one point to veer off and go on his own to Sodom of all places, which is the worst place on earth. But that's where the disciple of Avram went. Why? Because he was drawn there. For whatever reason it might be, whatever reason it was, he was drawn, he was attracted by the fact that their way of life, or the fact that he had a lot of possessions and he felt that over there would be able to build his businesses and so on. But he was drawn to Sodom. And the Pasuk says, wherever Lot went at this point in his life, Vohu Yoshev B'Sodom. He was a Sodomnik. He was a Sodom resident. Wherever he went, wherever he was brought to, it didn't matter. He was a resident of Sodom. He was captured, dragged out of Sodom, thrown into a prison somewhere else. It didn't matter in his mind and in his heart. Hu Yoshev B'Sodom. That's where I am. Wherever you take me, I'm still in Sodom. Because there's a piece of Sodom wherever I go. That was Lot. So says the Chassam Sofer, it's not only by light, by bad people who live in bad places, and they're connected to their home, and they're connected to a certain lifestyle, and you can't take it away from them. You know, like the world says, you can take a certain type of an individual out of a jungle, but you can't take the jungle out of that type of individual. We don't have to mention who we're referring to. It's self-understood. You can take Loit out of Sodom, but you can't take Sodom out of Loit. So Zogt Chassam Sofer, it's not only by bad people or wild people. It's by Am Yisrael also. Because the Pasuk says in Shema that we say twice a day, so he says, "V'kosha, what do you mean? What about we're in Golos? Where's the Yemechem al Adom Hashem Nishma Hashem? We're not in Adom Hashem Nishma Hashem. Some of us are, but most of us, many of us, are here in this country and in all the continents. We're not in Eretz Yisrael." Some Sefer says, we happen to be in Golos. That's against our will. We don't want to be in Golos. Where do we want to be? We want to be in Eretz Yisrael. We want to be living in a time where there's a Beis Hamikdash. We want to be serving Hashem in the proper way. We want to have Kabbonas Tumid brought every day. So Zok Techsam Sofer, maybe Gufeinu, our bodies, physically, might be planted temporarily in this land, but machshavteinu, loy machshavteinu, our thoughts, our minds, our hearts are in Eretz Yisrael, are in a time when we could be over Hashem with the Beis Hamikdash and with Nevi'im. U'b'chol mokem shanachnu yoshvim, wherever we are, We're Yoshvim al Adoma Akdoshiva Machshav Hasein. Wherever a Jew is, wherever a God-fearing Torah, true Jew lives, he's living where his heart lives. He's living where his desire is. And that's in Adoma Shenish Bashem, and that's in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chassam Sofer is telling us a very important lesson, concept, that a person is where they want to be. And it can't be taken away from them. I am, what state am I in? I am in a state of mind. What state of mind? If I'm an Oyver Hashem, if I'm a Ben Yisrael, if I'm a Frumi Yid, I'm in a state of mind of wishing to be Oyver Hashem in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Mikdash and the Nevi'im. If Chas V'Shalom, a person is a Rosha, and a person is a resident of Sodom, or the various different Sodoms that have developed in the modern day, then wherever that person goes, he's in a state of mind called Sodom. And you can't take him away from that. And it doesn't matter what it says on the license plate of his fancy car. He is where he wants to be. We find a very interesting Gemara in Ksubas, of Ayin Hey Amar Aleph. The Gemara in Ksubas explains, interprets the Pasuk in Tillim. Ulatziyon Yoimar Ish Ish Yivolid Bo V'hu Yechoyne Neho Elyon. So, Zog the Gemara. Echod HaNoilad Bo V'echod HaMetzapel Ur Oiso. It says the word Ish twice, because it's referring to two types of people and Eretz Yisrael. It's Ish, Ish. The person who's born there is called the man of Israel, a person who's from Eretz Yisrael. But HaMetzapeh, someone who's looking forward to being there, even though he's not living there, it's as if he's there. Echad HaMetzapeh L'Roisa, Zokt Rashi, Yikorei Miboneho, someone who wants to be in Eretz Yisrael is considered a resident of Israel, a resident of Eretz Yisrael, even though he's not there. That's what the Gemara says. To what extent? Halachically, if I want to be in Eretz Yisrael, I'm looking forward for the time that I could move my family, my business, and go to Eretz Yisrael and live comfortably. So I have a din Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, I have a din ben Eretz Yisrael. I say Mashiv Ruach on the 7th of Cheshvan. Say Talmud, the 7th of Cheshvan instead of December 4th? Not exactly. However, what about the various different segulas that Eretz Yisrael has? For example, Chazal say that Avira da Ara Machkim, there's a special Siyata Deshmaya for people who live in Eretz Yisrael, that they are wise. The air, the oxygen of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise, makes a person smart. Whatever it means that there's a certain Siyata Deshmaya, there's a certain aid that a person gets by living in Eretz Yisrael, so his Torah is better. He's able to think quicker, whatever it might be. Does that apply to a person who's anticipating moving to Israel, to Eretz Yisrael? Someone who would love to be there? Well, I'm sorry, you're not there. When you get there, you'll get the wisdom. Till then, you could just long for it. Says the Ritva, when the Pasuk says, Ish, Ish, Echad ha-noilad bo, ve-echad ha-metzapel ha-roiso, zog the Ritva, Pirish, avira machkim lei, ve-zoiche bo b'yeshivosa. A person who wants to be, who's looking forward to being there, it's as if he's there already, and he gets that wisdom as if he's living there. But he's not there. He's in Minneapolis. I'm in Minneapolis. He's in Chicago. He's in Brooklyn, New York, far off from the holy land of Eretz Yisrael and the Ir HaKadosh of Yerushalayim. Not true. If he wants to be there, and he's looking forward, then he's there. And he has this Siyata Deshmaya already. Zok Teritva. You know, I once saw, there's a sefer, it's really a book, all about Reb Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who was the chief Rav of Yerushalayim during the turn of the century. And we know, you know, the history of Palestine at that time, that the British were in control and they were not the greatest friends of the Jewish people, and they, you know, did whatever they can to try to prevent the development of the country for the Yidden until the Balfour Declaration and so on. But they weren't the greatest friends. And they made blockades and they did not allow people to emigrate to Eretz Yisrael, as is well known, at the turn of the century and even later on, in the 40s. They had, however, in the book it's written, they had, however, a law. And the law was the law of return, which meant that in order not to, quote-unquote, to anger the Arabs, anybody who was a previous resident of Eretz Yisrael is allowed to return from Europe to live there. But if you're not a resident of Eretz Yisrael, you can't come from Europe. Now, how many residents of Eretz Yisrael were living in Europe, right? The idea was that basically, excuse me, you can't come to Israel if you're from Europe. But if there was this loophole that if you were a resident of Israel before, then you could come. So they asked Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, what should we do? They had to run away, a lot of them, they had to run away from the pogroms in Europe and from the starvation in Europe. They wanted to come and live in Eretz Yisrael already. But we can't. They're going to stop us at the border. We have to be able to say that, but we're not residents. It's a lie. So he said, you can write on the form that you're born in Eretz Yisrael. You're residents of Eretz Yisrael. Because since you want to be there, it's like you were there. You could come from Hungary, you could come from Poland or from Lithuania, but you're a Yid. And you, Libi B'Mizrach, that's where you want to be, that's where you are. That's where you're a resident, and that's where you're a citizen of. And you can write it on the form, and it's not sheker. And they were able to enter. Because it's true. a person is where he wants to be. Yaakov was afraid. Oy, Esav is going to come with his chus. He has Yishev Oretz for 20 years. And I'm living out in the fields of Haran, somewhere in Lebanon or up there in Syria. I don't have that chus. The answer was, don't worry. Esav doesn't have that chus. Maybe that was his address, but he wasn't there. He didn't want to be there. Look at the end of the parsha. The parsha says that Esav picked up and he moved away. And Rashi tells us that he says, I don't want to be here. Rashi says, I don't want to be in Eretz Yisrael. I don't want anything, have anything to do with the Bris Ben Absorim, with Eretz Yisrael. I'm out of here. And he moves with his whole, with the whole lock, stock, and barrel. He moves out to Edom, and that's it. He's gone. What do you mean? Esav, you have a schus yishev oretz. I'm not interested. He never wanted to be there. So then he don't have the schus. He's not there. But Yaakov, Adarabba, Yaakov, where was Yaakov interested in being? He was interested in being home. Grada, he had to be for a tkufa out in Haran, but he didn't want to be there. His heart was in Eretz Yisrael. If we look at the end of Parsha Vayetze, and the Parsha says, we know the story that when Yaakov was on his way towards Haran, so he had a dream, and he saw the famous dream, and he saw the angels ascending and descending this ladder, the heavenly ladder. And then we see at the end of Parsha Vayetze, when he returns to Eretz Yisrael, he meets up with camps of Malachim, so to speak, in the flesh. He meets Malachim physically, if it's shaykh to say physically by a Malach. He meets them, not a dream. He sees them real, real Malachim. What is the difference? How come initially he only was able to see it in a dream, and on his return to Eretz Yisrael, he saw the Malachim mamish? So it tells, they say, from the Lutz Karov, because when he was leaving Eretz Yisrael, going to Haran, he was looking to Haran. He was going away from Eretz Yisrael. But when he was returning, his mind was, I'm going back home. And even though he was not home, he was in Haran, but he was facing his kivun, his direction, his interest was Eretz Yisrael. So he was there. If he was there as on a higher level, he could meet Malachim Mamish. Doesn't have to see them just in a chaloim. A person is only able to claim that I am here if he's actually here. But if his mind is wandering, has wandered off the farm, off the reservation, he's not here anymore. He doesn't have any schusim. It doesn't count. They say a story about, I see the bell's going to ring in a minute. Maybe it did already. But they say a story about Chofetz Chaim, I understand, used to say the story that there was an officer, a Polish officer, that was imprisoned in one of the Russian prison camps in Siberia. And one of his inmates noticed that every morning he would rise very early and get up and go under the bed, pull out the valise and take out some clothing, put it on, fold it back up and put it away. And he asked him, after he built up enough courage, after all, what are you doing? He knew that he wasn't a yid, he wasn't wearing a talis. What are you doing? He said, I am a officer in the Polish army. Even though right now I'm in a prison in Russia, a gulag somewhere, I'm not in prison in Russia. I am a Polish officer, and I'm in Poland, and I'm in the army. And I remind myself every day by putting on that uniform. And I tell myself, I'm not here, I'm there. And that's how I'm able to survive. That's why I'm able to pull through. A yid that takes off time and comes to learn Torah in a faraway city like Chicago for a whole day. And then returns back home and continues the daily routine, whatever it might be, in the office, in the classroom, in the store, wherever it is. But where am I truly? Where do I want to be? If I prove to myself, I want to be in a base medrash, that's where I want to be. So even though I have to be in the office, because I have a responsibility to supply my family, to support my family, and by doing so, I'm a kaim a mitzvah of oisei tzedakah b'chol eis. I'm a responsible individual, and therefore I have to support my family properly, and they have to live comfortably, so I have to have a business. But where is my mind when I'm in the business? What am I thinking about? I'm thinking about that Tosfos that we learned. I'm thinking about that Ramban. I'm thinking about that Vort that I heard. What do I do when I have time by lunch? Rabbi Nachaim Volozhiner says that when the Pasuk says, Haneg Bahen Minig Derech Eretz, Rabbi Shmuel said that you're supposed to go out and make a parnosa for yourself. But the way it's termed is Haneg Bahen Minig Derech Eretz. So he says that means that while you're doing the parnosa and while you're raising the family properly, but what are you thinking about when you have a few minutes off? Are you thinking about Narishkeit? Or you're thinking about a Mishnayis? Let me bring with me a Mishnayis. Let me bring with me a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So during lunch, I could read a few halachas, because that's where my heart is. That's where my mind is. Then that's where you are. And when Dovra HaMelech said, Shivti Beveis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai, that's what he meant. People can't be in the Beis Medrash all day and all night, a whole life. Not everyone can do that. If everyone's in the Beis Medrash, how's anything going to get done? Not everybody can do that. However, wherever Shifti Beis Hashem, Dovra HaMelech's tefillah was, wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, I want to be in the Beis Medrash. My heart is there. My mind is there. So that I'm there. That's the feeling of every Torah true Jew. Everybody should be zoicha. Go back home. Whatever you're doing, should be successful. But the mind and the heart is Beveis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayei, and Memela, you should have a tremendous Hatzlacha, Baruch, Ubegeshem, Hatzlacha, Baruch. Amen.